Be a part of the Brokers Are Better movement by joining our Facebook group exclusively for the Independent Mortgage Broker channel. It's a place dedicated for AIM members and mortgage professionals to share best practices, network, and help our community grow their companies in a positive way. Head over to facebook.com/groups/brokersarebetter to join. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Broker, sponsored by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I'm your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. And today I have my good friends, Lisa Lund and Matt Oliver of Lund Mortgage. What's up, guys?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. I know I was trying not to get too much info from you guys because I want this to just flow and learn about it right now. But you guys are good, coming from Arizona?
It's a little cold for me, but Matt loves it. I'm a little cold, but I'm dealing with it.
But you said you had someone in your family that was born in Philly?
My grandpa.
Your grandpa.
Was actually born in Philly, yes.
Okay. Fun fact, I said this yesterday. My grandfather was the first Allstate insurance agent on Market Street in Philly back in the day, in like, what, the 50s or whatever it is.
Wow.
And he's still kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, my whole family comes from insurance.
I
was the first one to get out and go to this side. But obviously a lot of connects there, but blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah. All right, so Arizona.
Arizona.
Right? You guys were born there? Like, where are you guys from originally?
So I'm originally from San Diego.
Okay.
But I moved to Arizona in high school. I was a sophomore in high school when I moved to Arizona. Mm-hmm. My grandparents lived there. So my dad decided to pick up, moved from San Diego to Arizona, and I went with him.
Mm-hmm. I was born in Missouri.
Okay.
Only lived there for like 6 months to a year, and then Arizona from there on out.
Right to Arizona. Yeah. Family took you there?
Yep. So I've been out there my whole life.
Yeah, and I want to make a note because you have different last names. We have a married couple here.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Both owners of Lund. How's that work?
Technically, I'm the owner.
Okay.
But we run it
together. It's all.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, you know, how it goes, paper and stuff like that. So technically, I'm the owner, and I hold the broker license.
Okay.
And then, but we run it together. We work together every day, hand in hand. My strengths and weaknesses, you know, we play off of each other, which is great.
Yeah, I want to get into that dynamic a little bit later, because, like, my wife, she runs hard. You think I have energy, she is, like, 10 of me. And we've talked, like, she's already helping with some of the holiday cards and doing things.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one that should probably be running the whole business, quite honestly. So, but we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm good being the vice president.
Well, like, you know, there's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, you live with each other and you work with each other. I want to talk about that a little bit more for people out there. But let's kind of start where how you guys got into the business.
Do you want to start?
Can we go there?
Go ahead.
So I got in the business because of my father.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad got in the business in 81. And he worked for a home thrift and loan bank in San Diego, small bank.
Cool.
And learned the ropes. He had someone take a chance on him at 21, and he ran with it. Moved to Arizona, started his brokerage there.
Okay.
And throughout high school, I was always wanting to work with him. And I said, what can I do?
Cool.
What can I do? I wanted to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so after high school, I just went in full force, and I started out as a receptionist. Then I learned junior processing, learned sales, managing, and then eventually took over and got my broker's license in 09.
Nice. So he was worked for a bank or owned a bank in San Diego?
Worked.
Uh-huh. And then started a brokerage in Arizona. And is this Lund? Is this it?
This is it, this yeah. Is,
okay,
yes,
so it's
yes.
carried all
it's
the way
carried through.
Through,
yes.
That's awesome.
He started that in January of 99.
Yep.
January of 99, cool. And now you're all owner at this point?
In June of 09
cool
is when
is
I took over, yeah. So in June of 09, and it was great. I got to work with my dad for 16 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he passed away in 2014, but it was a really cool experience to learn from him. He taught me so much about the old school part of dealing with clients and doing things the right way, and I really loved learning from him.
I mean, there's something to be said, and you guys are doing it again, where family business took over the family business. Now you guys are together. You have kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many you got?
Four total.
Yeah.
Four total. I have three myself.
Yeah,
so
we have
it's
three together, but four total.
Yeah.
Is that something you think about down the road? Like, would you love for
most
one
definitely.
Or all of them to work for the family
I don't think
business?
They could all work together, but it'd definitely be cool. I mean, the idea is, I think, down the road for one of them to take over.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, like I was just saying, our dynamic is my grandfather's insurance, my two aunt and uncles, they're in insurance. My dad is in insurance. They're all own different agencies,
yeah.
Mostly in Allstate. My younger brother owns an independent insurance agency, kind of like with
the
broker of
the broker.
Insurance, which
yeah.
is awesome. And now on the mortgage side, they work kind of hand in hand, and I'm hoping to be the top of like where my grandfather is to maybe pass it along to my kids if they want to go in that direction. So I love it. I love stories like this.
I think it's cool too. I mean, obviously, we're in the mortgage industry, so we work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so our kids are constantly in our office, which is really cool for them to see us work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see them in the corner playing on the phone, like, thank you for calling the mortgage team.
Yeah,
and it's actually really exciting to see. I mean, even at 8 years old, for them to see what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and making an impact and then following us even at that young age.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah,
yeah.
My kids will say, yeah, they see the Hus Bus. I got the
yeah.
logo, the Hus Bus. And I can get into that. That was an actual Hus Bus back in the day we grew up in, and the conversion van
that.
With the ladder and the whole thing. But they always ask, like, oh, Dad, you're giving people homes today? Like, that's all they know.
Yeah.
And they really think it's
so cute, I think.
But we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But on a total top level, they just think we're just getting people houses and here, have a good day.
And they're so proud. Like,
they really are.
I go to my kids' school if I go to a field trip, and their teachers come up to me like, your daughter said you own your own company and you help people get in homes. So it's exciting to hear them talk about you, and they really look up to you, which
yeah,
is
yeah.
great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Matt, you've been in the industry too for a
yes.
long time as well. What's the dynamic going?
I stole him over.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
We met at the Phoenix Open in 2005.
Which is a big golf tournament.
Yeah, are you a big golfer?
No.
Okay.
It's a party.
well, yeah. they have the one hole, right?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, it's awesome.
16.
Yeah, I know. I'm a big golfer, so.
yeah, so we met there in 2005, and then it's kind of funny because I think, if I remember right, we were out on the lake at like a, I don't know, hanging out together or whatever, and she was telling me how much these guys were making that her dad had as loan officers, and I'm like, I'll do that for half that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm 25 at the time, so I'm
sure,
like, this is crazy. These guys mm-hmm. getting paid that much.
Yeah.
I can run circles around these guys, and I'll do it for half.
Yeah, right.
I did make the comment at that time. And then
they paid you half, and you're like,
yeah.
what?
yeah, well, no, because I started over there.
In 2007.
Yeah, so her dad had a mortgage coach come out and kind of like open the hood and see what's going on, and he thankfully directed the company another way because it turned out to be great. So that was about third quarter of 2007. That he made that direction. I started October 1st of 2007, and it turned into kind of like a quasi call center
mm-hmm.
per se. And so we were taking in calls and then taking in inbound leads from the radio ads.
Okay.
And we were sending her dad out to speak with everybody.
But your history a little bit, you worked for, he did home equities with Chase.
Yes.
When I met him.
Okay. So you were kind of already in the business.
Yes,
a
I'm
bit.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I was already on the phones at Chase, and that's when we had talked, and she said, we're starting this kind of call center, do you want to come over here?
But right. you have to tell him, like, the funny part about this is when we first met, he worked for Chase, right? The big
mm-hmm.
bank.
Sure.
And I told him, I'm a mortgage broker. And he said, why would anyone go to
yeah,
you,
right.
like, over Chase? Like, I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
why would they go to you over
uh-huh.
Chase? Because he didn't know any difference. Like, you think at that age, like, you only go to the big banks.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
what you know.
That's
what
was
you
kind
do.
Of the retail to broker side of things. Was definitely, I made that comment. I'm like, well, this, go to Chase. Why would they come to you?
And this is like 07, 08, in that
yeah.
range, too?
Yeah.
Actually,
before
when I made that
kind of
comment was probably in 05.
Yeah.
And then I started working over there in October 1st, 2007.
That's funny. So I got in 2011. So I don't even know before the quote-unquote crash, right?
Yeah.
But so even back then, a broker was looked at, like, why would you even do that? Even then? Because right now there's still that misconception. We can get into that, but...
It wasn't, I mean, there was a lot of brokers back
mm-hmm.
then, but
right.
the younger people didn't know better. They thought
mm-hmm.
you go to a bank to get a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just weren't educated. And we didn't have, you know, back then, internet
nothing,
wasn't
right.
as big as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So people just didn't know. They didn't know better. But brokers were relevant. They were a big deal. Just as a young person, though,
mm-hmm.
you think when you get a mortgage, you're going to go to a bank.
Yeah.
I think the percentage was high back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like 35%
broker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, that was right, 03, 04, 05.
Yeah.
So then, so tell me what happened in 08, 09. Because obviously you...
We got married.
We got married.
In 08.
Right.
The best time to both be in the mortgage industry and get married,
right? That's what I'm
saying.
Right.
Yeah. I said, if we could get through that, then we could get through anything in life. But yeah, we ended up getting married in 08. And like Matt touched on a little bit, one of the best things we did is have someone come in and look at the company dynamic and kind of open the hood.
Okay.
And coached us on... Okay, here's what you guys are doing great, but here's what I would suggest.
On the business side,
on
not
the business,
just the mortgage,
yeah.
but the whole yeah. the whole mm-hmm. thing. Yeah.
Okay. And thank gosh we did it, because it made us go through the crash and we were able to make it through, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I would think volume was down a bit, though, for like a year or so.
It was scary. I'm not going to say, yeah.
Right, but that was the best time mm-hmm. to maybe reinvent yourself, like you said, right?
We did the least amount of loans in August of 08.
Yes.
Like, I still remember we were in a circle, her dad, myself, her, and... another employee, Ryan, and we were sitting like, what are we going to do? This mm-hmm. is August of 08. Everything was falling apart. We were all nervous as hell, you know?
That's why I love doing this these podcasts, because I get to talk with a lot of people that guys in my position that didn't see it, they think like, oh, there was all this money to be made. But which way would you guys rather have it? Now? I mean...
I'm very thankful that I got to be in the business during the crash. And
that's
I'm sure
point.
We'll talk about it, because it makes us realize now when times are good, you understand a little bit that it doesn't happen forever. And you learn to take the money that you're making and reinvest back in your company,
cool.
which I think is very important for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gave us a different outlook on things, being able to have that fear of like, where's our next loan coming from? And it makes you a lot more humble. You appreciate
things. Grateful. Yeah, the whole thing.
And you fight for things, too. It teaches you kind of have a fight inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not willing to let any deal go, even when it is busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was the end of November. We were on a honeymoon, and that's when TARP started, Troubled Asset Relief Program. And that knocked the rates into, I thought, the high fours.
You're right. I think it was the high fours.
So we're on a honeymoon, and her dad called, and he's like, we're going crazy. Like, the loans
the phones are ringing. The phones
so
are ringing.
So they were high fours, but where were they? Sevens?
So we bought our first home together in February of 07, and our rate was 6.875.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they would probably, I would say, high sixes, sevens.
Okay. And so when they drop like a point, point and a half, if not more,
The phone started ringing. It was great.
And then especially with the type of setup that you guys had, more of a quote-unquote call center, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys were set up to do volume.
Correct.
So Dad's like, yo, get your asses back.
Oh.
Like, I don't care where you're at.
What he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to pay for that honeymoon?
It was an exciting time to hear that positive on the phone on the other side. So we were mm-hmm. so excited to come back from our honeymoon and hit the ground running.
And go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yep.
All right. Well, let's talk about now, right?
Mm-hmm.
What roles are you guys playing? Like, who wants to go first? Like, what's your role in the company?
So right now we advertise on the radio, so we get a good amount of leads from the radio. But because we've been on the radio so long, we're getting referrals and those kind
the
of
organic
calls coming
way.
Through. Yeah.
Okay.
So me and another guy in our office, Ryan, take the phone calls, place the loans, pick out the pricing, get everything organized from start to finish, and then or from the start and then pass it on to process.
So you're on the ground floor right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking calls, you're speaking
to
clients.
To every single client.
Okay.
In the very beginning, place the loan, do all that kind of stuff, let processing take over, and then I pick it up at the end.
Cool. So how many employees then?
Let's we have 11 total.
11.
Right? Mm-hmm.
All right. So you kept this nice and small, because to be completely honest, I hear radio, I hear call center. I'm like, without even knowing you guys, I'm like, 100, 150 employees. That was the perception I had. I'm not, you know.
So does everyone.
That's really cool.
In Arizona, like, we branded ourselves so well that we'll go meet with clients and they think that we have this huge company.
Yeah.
And we really have we're small family. I like to keep it. We're very close.
Uh-huh.
Most of our employees have been with us for years and we work really well together. It's not like when you say what's your role or what's mm-hmm. not your role, I don't like to look at it like that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I'm in there every day with everyone on the processing ground. I feel like no one has a specific role. We're all there to do what we need to do, what's best for the client.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. So that wasn't like a surprise to me, but I didn't kind of expect that, to be honest. I think people look at even myself, it's just me and my brother right now and my sister's boyfriend, Jake. So we're keeping it like tight. But sometimes we seem bigger than we are, like you said, which that could put you in a bad spot sometimes, right?
Yeah, it does. It does on the phone.
Am I right?
Oh, for sure.
Because they think.
That's why I like taking it back. Like when I'm talking to people on the phone, I'm like, look, we're just a small family owned and operated company. There's 11 employees. It sounds a lot bigger. Yeah, they think we're gigantic. But as soon as you scale that back, then they kind of trust you more. They feel more comfortable with you.
Yeah. There's a real fine line with marketing and how you want to do business the right way. Because I'm already getting it from you guys. Family and quality is so important to you. You'd rather probably do less deals with good quality than just throwing shit against the wall and trying to do volume, mm-hmm. right?
And that goes back to her dad, like when she said earlier.
That's cool.
Her dad, I got so pissed one time at a client because he said, I told him I'd pay for the appraisal. And I knew I never did, but I was kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place.
I got you.
So I'm going at him, battling, like, I'm not paying for it, you know. Piss off. I'm not paying for it. So finally her dad just comes in. He goes, Matt, just pay for the appraisal. Like, who cares? Uh-huh. Like you're going to ruin this. You're going to ruin the client. You're going to piss them off. They're never coming back to us. Mm-hmm. Just do the right thing. Who cares? Yeah. It's a small nominal deal.
Yeah.
So
it goes back to long term. I mean, this is a long term company doing the right thing by the client. I mean, you see it, you get one client, even if you have to take less or whatever it is.
Yeah.
During the lifetime, five deals are going to come from that client. I mean, that
changed my perspective on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Just when he said that, I'm like,
build relationships.
100% right. Yeah.
Don't do it for the money. Do it for doing the right thing, and the money will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Matt Ishbia says all the time, success will follow you.
Yeah. And it's an impressive dude. I mean, he's looking at 2021 right now, and he's just not wearing. I think he said he's going to look at the numbers in terms of bank account numbers of what the company. He's just like, do it.
Yeah.
If he has a good gut feeling and it makes sense, he does it, right?
And that's one thing, too. It's like he'll come in my office and say, maybe you just need to call this client. You know, picking up the phone and calling the client, even as the owner, goes a long way. The mm-hmm. people feel like you're really invested in them.
And you are, though.
Yes.
That's not BS. Yes. You actually are.
You really are. But they don't expect it.
No.
They don't expect it these Mm-mm. days. They expect something completely different. And so when you pick up the phone and show that you actually do care, it's a world of difference.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I know we don't want to talk about roles or whatnot, but day-to-day, right? You're picking up the phone. What's kind of your day-to-day right now to give everyone an idea? I know you're doing everything, but...
Yeah, you know, I'm managing processing and sales. Mm-hmm. I kind of just overlooking everything, making sure how do we improve our processes, our flow? How's everyone doing in the office? Are they overworked? Are they, you know, what can we do to make this process better and a better experience for our clients? How can we improve?
Cool. All right, can we go a little bit more deeper on that in terms of, you guys still do radio, right?
Yes.
That's still huge, which is cool. Like, who's on the radio? Like, how does that go? One of you speaking on the radio? Is it one of you guys?
Yeah, Lisa does it as the owner, which goes a long way, because it's kind of crazy. Her dad, when he was doing it, they would talk about him all the time. So I would go on these appointments with her dad, and they would think he's a celebrity. It's like, guys, we're paying for advertising, but the clients think he's like a celebrity. And that goes a long way.
I think for us, one thing, we've tried different types of radio and throughout the years. And one of the things that we've learned is we do talk radio because people don't change the station as much. And the people that are the talent. So say, you know, we're doing the show right now. Mm-hmm. They're doing our live reads. So it's a live read. It's more a referral rather than a jingle. So instead of doing like a jingle, like, and we never talk about rates. We never talk about that. What we talk about is our service, what we're about. We're family owned.
That's awesome.
You know, from our family to your family. So it's a live read. And basically we've done everyone's loan in the radio station. So when they're talking about their experience.
That's cool.
So it's more of a referral.
Hmm.
And it's completely different than what you think with radio. Most people think of, you know, typical radio, I'm selling rates, or you hear the big shops out there, they're selling mm-hmm. rates and refinance now and
like
blah, blah,
Jay
blah.
Jay Varner, Quick knows, you should refinance to a 15-year.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we don't discuss any numbers.
We don't discuss anything like that. We just talk about, you know, our story. We talk about why we're in the business. We talk about, you know, that we only lend in Arizona.
Cool.
You know, the people that are our clients we see at the grocery store, our kids go to school with them, they play sports. Mm-hmm. So we stay on that level of connecting with people.
Nice. And doing it through radio, which it doesn't seem like it would be, like you said, mm-hmm. being able to do that. So that's really making you different. from everyone. That's awesome.
It's the authentication, cool. I think, that people
huge.
Like, right?
Yeah.
So they like to know that they're dealing with someone local and that's vested in them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that we have a family and they like to hear about your story and why you're doing what you do.
Well, I mean, we're dealing with people's lives and families and homes where they spend 85% of their time. Like, they want someone that, I mean, it sounds really simple, but that is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just doing it a different way and getting it out there on a different platform than maybe social media. You guys do that as well, but that's always been a constant for 20-some years, right?
Yeah.
That's cool that you're still doing that.
Going on 19 years now, so. And it started out with one station, and now we're on three. And when we added the third, it was during the HARP days in 2012.
Yeah, I remember HARP, yeah.
And that was one of the things about investing in your business. It was a scary thing for us to add on the cost of another station. But Matt, I mean,
we were nervous about adding the third one. It was, I think, November of 2011. But we knew HARP was coming. So being on the radio, you got to be on there. You got to build a brand for sure.
Could you give an idea of what it costs to add another station? Is there a roundabout?
Three loans a month.
About three loans a month? Yeah.
So we look at it, how many loans?
Type thing, yeah. Obviously.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a commitment because, like he said, when you start on the radio, you don't expect the phones to ring right away. So we looked at it like, okay, we are going to make sure that we can put a year into this and really brand ourselves on that other station. And so that year we knew we were going to make more money probably typically than previous years. But instead of going out and just spending it, we decided to reinvest back in our company. It was probably the best thing we ever did.
Yeah.
Adding that third one.
Yeah, because it takes a long time. It takes a long time to get there. You know, when you advertise on the radio, it's not, the phones aren't going to start ringing on the first day. They may not ring for 3 months, 6 months, you know? So we knew at that point, let's go through HARP. We'll be able to stomach it through HARP because that blew the business up for a little bit. And we would have branded ourselves at that point for 15 months on the radio.
Okay.
You know, going through the next year. So that was the sticking point, I think, for that station. Yeah.
I mean, when you reinvest, listen, in our world right now, there's a lot of shiny objects, right? And I've spent money on stuff like
Done that.
Yeah, you've done it, right?
Yeah, no.
But like you had said, like you invested it, but you had a game plan for it, and you actually work it. A lot of people just think I'm going to throw $10,000 at this lead generator thing, but
you got to stick to it.
That's just going to make me money.
Yeah,
you have to work
stick
it.
Stick to it. Yeah,
it's got to be constant.
That's the key.
But again, it's been constant for 20-some years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
And we're always meeting, like, what can we do, you know, what other message can we get out there? We're always trying to keep our brand in line with what we believe. But, like, what other message can we give to people? So we're always trying to, like, stay on top of it. And we're meeting with our radio people every couple months.
So going back to that, I think Lisa's done a few on the radio, which goes a long way because they like the feel of
Female.
Yeah, female's voice.
To be honest.
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. 100%.
You know, it's almost like that motherly, you know, when they hear my voice, they feel secure.
Well, what do you always say? You don't sell.
A big thing. And I was talking to some girls last night about it. And I said, the one thing in mortgage that women have an advantage over men is I have never sold a mortgage in my life. And they said the same thing. Women don't sell.
Yeah.
We sit down and we connect with you. We talk about your family. We really advise you through the process and they are comfortable. You never have to sell anything.
Yeah. I had Tori and Skylar on yesterday and that was great. I wish I had more time with them because I wanted to get into that. But, you know, that's exactly. I mean, you nailed it, right? And I love how you said messaging. So my buddy Scott Shang, who was on this, I no longer call it marketing. When I market, I call it messaging because you're delivering a message. You're not just marketing or being marketing and sales. That's what it's called in college or whatever, right?
Yeah.
No, you're messaging. You're giving a specific message.
Yes.
That's cool.
And that message that comes across, you want to make sure it's the correct message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time that we do a different radio lead or something like that, we make sure that we stay in line with our beliefs, whether we're talking about this or that, but we're on the same track.
And I think you would agree, and I want to keep hitting on radio, that's really one little piece because that just generates so much more. And then really what it is, your real messaging is when you have the client, you're getting so many more referrals just from that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, the radio
call
will come in.
Like, that's a little piece, really. Everything else is steamrolling now.
Yeah, radio call come in. We do them right. They tell their friends, family, and it just it goes for segues from there.
Yeah.
I mean, the leads keep coming off that one radio ad.
Mm-hmm. And it's too, the radio has enabled us to brand ourselves that now when I go to the dentist and I wear a Lund Mortgage shirt,
yeah,
you know, I come back and Matt's like, you're the only person that can get their teeth clean and come back with a mortgage. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But talking about the company and yeah, about just, what you do.
And relating to people, you know, I go to my kids' field trips and I talk to their teachers and you'll be surprised, even an Uber driver, you talk to them. Oh, you're looking to buy a home? Well, let's talk more about this. Yeah. I mean,
whether you use me or not, what can I do to help?
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. That's awesome. Now, to get more into the flow, so once you guys get the leads, mm-hmm. can we talk about the process and help other people out there? Because quality's, if you didn't have quality, then people aren't going to come back to you.
Yes.
So what's kind of the flow? It's ever-changing, but lead comes in, like you said, you know, let's say they're in process.
Yeah, what type of systems are you using? Figure out the pricing. I mean, Loan Sifter is the main one right now, but obviously we're pretty heavy with United Wholesale.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. How many lenders do you use on a consistent basis?
I would say five.
Mm-hmm.
I would say five consistently, but mainly they're the main one.
Yeah, same.
So I price the loan, position it, do everything.
Or even with like a pre-qual, for instance. Someone looking to get pre-approved for a home. Matt and Ryan will take the call, get the application together, get their income. And I look at all the income and basically pre-underwrite the deal before we pre-approve them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it takes a little bit longer, but I think that's key because we don't lose realtors' trust with that. You have to do that ahead of time. Like we get some clients that are mad because it takes maybe a day or two, you know, to get the verification of employment, stuff like that. But
yeah,
the key is we're not losing them. Once they're in, once they're approved or pre-approved.
And then once they get a contract,
You're ready to go.
And it's a lot smoother. If I always tell even my processors, do the work in the front end and the back end will go a lot smoother. Some people are like, I don't want to do all this work here. But then they get to the back end and they're stressed out because it's closing day and they miss this or miss that.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the work up front, it'll make the rest of the process much easier.
Yeah, no doubt. We do a whole advice on our side is we call it a pre-qual game plan or pre-approval game plan. We're taking their budget. Like, mm-hmm. we're looking, making sure they qualify,
yeah.
but then we're going deeper with, you know, minimum payment, comfortable payment, max payment, money out of pocket, what areas?
Mm-hmm.
Are you working with a realtor? Can we refer you?
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a whole template for that that we can plug and play, and it's personalized. I love saying personalized automation right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you kind of have to do because you have to be quick and efficient right now. Right?
Well, and that's the key with being on the radio when we do the pre-approvals is because I'm referring out leads. I'm referring them to the realtors. The mm-hmm. realtors aren't coming to – I mean, they are coming to
they
us.
They are, but
– after the fact,
yeah,
you know.
That's a good spot to be.
2 years ago, we kind of branded ourselves Call Us First. You know,
yeah,
how much home you can afford. That's our biggest thing on the radio is call us first before you call a realtor because a realtor is going to send you to us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So call us first. Know how much home you can afford before you call a realtor.
Yeah, it really is totally backwards. Is. They should be coming to us
first. You did a video on that.
I did a video on it, yeah.
So it's, go through that. The video that you did with you and Ryan.
Yeah, so
Ryan?
He's the other LO in our office.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Sorry.
So I came up with this idea because I thought it would be funny because I wanted to get people's attention on the video. So I had Ryan, he's also a realtor, wear a shirt that said sexy, okay? And I had a shirt that said not sexy, okay?
So okay, so where's this going?
When people first get on there, right, they're looking at a girl and a guy, and they see a girl wearing the not sexy, sexy shirt
uh-huh.
and the guy's wearing the sexy shirt.
Sure,
like, what's going on here? So what the video was about was the sexiest part of the transaction is finding the home. Everyone likes, whether you're online mm-hmm. on realtor.com or Zillow, everyone likes looking at homes. We even look at homes all the time. That's the sexy part.
Yeah.
The not sexy part is getting pre-qualified. The mortgage. Yeah,
no one wants a mortgage.
Right. No one wants to give you their pay stubs and have to go find their W-2.
No.
What we do is boring. It's the not sexy part. But in the video, I said, if you're going to go on a date, the sexy part, you want to make sure that your hair is done, your makeup's done, your nails are done.
Yeah.
So you need to prep yourself before you go on that sexy date.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the same in the industry. You want to make sure that you're dealing with a mortgage professional and that they're asking for all your stuff, that you're prepped. So when you get to that sexy part, that's the fun, easy mm-hmm. part.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun video.
No pain, no gain a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big emphasis that we put on the radio is call us first, please. Get pre-qualified first and then from that point, we can refer them out to the realtors.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple.
Flip the script.
That's
a little bit.
But like she said, the sexy part's not dealing with us first. But so you got to do that first to get to the...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, all right, lead comes in, let's say. Yep. All right, you price it out. Let's say it's a prequal or whatnot. What type of systems are you guys using right now?
Right now, Flowify is the main one.
Okay.
Flowify is the main one now, which we just started.
You doing
an
online
using.
Application in the beginning? You verbally taking info?
So when both. I'm taking it on the phone, I offer both, but I would say 90% want to do it online.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way of the world now.
Yeah.
So we send out Flowify and they finish the app from there. It comes in. Once it's positioned and placed and everything, we run it through the system, run it through DU. Then at that point, it moves on to processing.
What LOS do you guys use?
We're still with Point.
Point, okay.
Yeah.
Not process. We actually hired a girl out of college. She babysat for us for 5 years.
And that's awesome.
When she graduated, she came to us and said, you know, I'd like to learn the mortgage business. Do you have a position for me? Well, we didn't really, but one thing that we realized that our company was lacking was setting expectations for our clients correctly. Mm. And so we do a lot of things great, but there's a lot of things that we can improve on, right? Everyone can. So we kind of looked at what can we do better in setting expectations, because
so important, but people miss that.
It's customer service, concierge service.
Yeah, so we hired her, and basically when a contract comes in, she's calling the borrower like, congratulations, we got your contract, but you're not going to hear from your LO for a couple days. He's getting your title fees. He's putting this together.
Yeah.
But here's what to expect. Then she's calling the realtors. We got the contract. If you need anything, we're here. You're going to get your loan status updates every week on Wednesdays. And then she's kind of developed into more. Like, she orders all of our disclosures now. She calls the borrowers when the disclosures go out. Here's what to expect. Here's how you click on it. Here's how you get through it. And we've seen 100% improvement on our turn times for getting LEs and disclosure signed and getting to process faster. Mm-hmm. So she makes sure that the income's in the file, that they've signed the LE before it even goes to our processor. So when it's on our processor's desk, they're ready to just run with it.
Well, it's even just a mental thing for the client. Because if they don't hear from one of us for 2 or 3 days, they start getting resentful. Where is this dude?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What's going on? Is my whole thing blowing up? What's happening? And you know, it's fine. You just can't get to it because we're doing a billion different things.
Yeah.
So that's really important. So, yeah, so people out there that are starting to explode with business, maybe find someone
Absolutely. To
be the customer service.
And
it
now
doesn't have to be tough. Not saying it's not tough work, because it is. You're talking. But just letting people know what the hell's going on, right?
And it's made a huge difference. We told the office, I told this funny story. I said, if you're dating someone and you're getting ready to move in with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my head I hate to do dishes. Okay, I know I'm not going to do them, but if I don't.
So who does the dishes?
Neither.
Honestly, he does it more than I do. No, it's fine. Honestly, he probably does it more than I do. You know.
Yeah, I got you. But
the kids—we're teaching the kids to do the dishes.
Right. Yeah. Earn their keep.
Right. So I told my office, I'm like, listen, if you don't tell that person you're about to move in with that you don't like to do dishes, they're going to walk by that sink every day and resent you because they feel in their head you should be doing it.
People make up their own stories even though nothing's
But
happening.
If you tell them up front, hey, we're moving in together, but I don't do dishes, then they expect when they see the dirty dishes in the sink, they're not going to be mad at you. They're not going to expect
it. That's a marital tip. In our house, whoever does it better does it. I'm terrible at the dishes. She's better, so she does it. I'm good at taking out the trash, so I do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoever does it better, right?
I'm good at drinking beers. So that's what I do.
What do you like, a martini or something?
You know.
Whatever it is.
Vodka Red Bull.
Vodka Red Bull?
Tequila. Yeah. I'm not a hard girl, please.
You like your beer. All right, that's cool. All right, so that's really important, that concierge type
person. Yeah, I would say that's definitely been a key. And Shelby Elias is the one that kind of taught us.
Shelby's great, yeah.
He told us we were struggling with some things. He's like, just hire. Like, he kind of does the Matt Ishbia thing, like overhire? I can't remember what he said.
By design, overhire by design.
By design, pay them well up front, lay good expectations.
And so we're starting to get there with the help of having a few communications with Shelby because he's getting more comfortable.
With Shelby too, and he's an impressive guy. How is it managing people? Like, do you feel like you're good at it? It's tough.
It's a work in progress, and there's no right answer
to
that.
There isn't one.
You know, there's no right answer to that. You just always have to keep improving, and I'm a big person of lead by example. I'm in there every day, and I want them to see me, like, what I'm putting back into the company and how hard I'm working, and I want them to follow. And so that's not a right.
No, that's a loaded question.
No one teaches when you're going to start a business. No one tells you as an entrepreneur when to hire, how to hire, who to hire, when's the right time, when's not the right time. And that's something that I've had to learn over time. That's been the hardest thing for me, I would have to say, is you get scared to hire because you're like, what if it slows down? I don't want to have to let that person go. So you get fearful almost. But like Matt said, in coming to these events and meeting other successful brokers, it's been really cool to hear them say, you know, well, this is how we do it. And, you know, every person that we've hired, even though we were a little skeptical, has doubled our business.
It's trust. I mean, the key is trust on that stuff. Yeah. Like, who are you going to trust to work for you? I think that's more important than anything.
Than anything else?
You can train whoever you want to get there. It's just, can you trust them to run the company like you run the company?
Mm, that's important. Yeah, so if there was, like, three qualities of someone that you're, let's throw LOs off the table, support staff. Right, because they're more important than just hiring a bunch of LOs. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We know that model, the bank model of throw asses in chairs and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're opposite. So is there like three qualities to look for someone that's going to support the business?
I think
trust.
The number one for me is trust. I mean, because like I said, I think we can mold them into whatever we want to if they're good enough, but I would rather trust that they're going to run the company or they're going to talk to the clients just like I would talk to the client, you know?
Like he said, trust and... You want them to have the same vision as you do. Like, I don't care about experience. You can teach mortgage. You can't teach someone to be compassionate, to
care for the client,
to say, you know what, this person is, we're doing a refinance because they're going through a divorce. Maybe I need to pick up the phone. Maybe they're having a hard day. Having that compassion for your clients goes a long way.
Yeah, I keep, because we're in the middle. I'm picking your guys' brains right now because I'm thinking about my own business.
Mm-hmm.
The next person we're looking to hire is, I want that person is the one that's can't sleep. I hate to say it, that can't sleep at night because they know something is happening with the transaction the next day, whether it's our fault or someone else's.
Yeah.
And they're literally nervous for the client.
I love that.
Because I do that.
Yes.
I still lay up in bed thinking about those two or three. I'm like, man, I hope this goes well because I don't want the conflict of having to deal with all, you know, the whole thing. I want someone that's literally nervous for the next day.
Putting their self in the client's shoes.
I love that.
That's
part.
The trust,
that's
right?
The key.
Yeah. And putting, like, I want my employees to put their selves in the client's shoes. Like, what if you were moving? What if you were moving and school's about to start and it's the middle of summer? How would you feel if someone called you up and was like, you know,
I'll get to it tomorrow.
You know, I'm going to get to it tomorrow.
No,
sorry about that.
Get to it something. Now,
yeah. So it's important to make the client feel that they're the only client, even though they're not. You want them to feel like they're the only client to you, and it's important for your employees to give that message.
Now, are you guys looking to grow a bit? Like, what's the game plan for Lund Mortgage?
So interesting you ask.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
So I've only been a broker, and one of the things that we lack at is our database.
Okay.
We have done radio for so long and have had collected so many clients, and we're very fortunate to have a lot of referrals, but we don't work our database at all. And that's been one of our biggest faults. And Matt...
Marriage fight.
Yeah.
I've been talking about this.
Matt, I have to give it to Matt. He's the one who basically said...
I'm not Dr. Phil, guys.
No, yeah.
But Matt is like, Lisa, we have this untouched resource. You know, we need to work our database.
It's the best spot.
So it was his idea. And so December 16th, we have a guy starting and
that
talk about it.
That will specifically work the database.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping he'll come in, look at the database, work that, hopefully pick up some CRM that will work well for our system, and just kind of keep that goal of all of our past clients. Keep, you know, keep.
He has no mortgage experience, okay? But he's coming from.
Listen, we're here at AIM.
Yeah.
Ricky. Do you know anything about mortgages right now?
Well, more than you did.
But now you do, but like...
Like this spot, these are very impressive.
Yes.
Like they don't know much about the mortgage, but they know about people.
Yeah.
And know how to get a message out to people. And then they just let people like us that know about mortgages tell them what to, you know. Like,
so that's kind of what we're hoping with him. We're going to plug and play.
100%.
Throw him in there and see what he can do.
So that's cool.
He's worked for an online college and he's done... work their CRMs and their retention, and he's really good at it. And so he's going to come in. We don't know about CRMs. That's not what we
That's
do
not
well.
What you do well.
Right.
So, you know, we had a great year in mortgage this year. So we decided we're instead of buying new cars or whatever, we're going to hire someone else that's what they do good, you know? And so he's going to come in. He's going to find the best CRM for us. He's going to look under the hood, having no mortgage experience, just watch our processes and put something in place that is what's best for us.
And make sure you have him use AIM,
because
they know a lot of the CRMs. Like, have him speak to some of the people here to pick to see what else is out there, too, knows about you guys.
That's a great idea,
That's what they're here for, really.
And then I want him to just get in our database and dig in it. Because
I was going to ask, like, what are you guys doing about your database? Because it's got to be big, but you got the radio. Yeah. And this is obviously something that you're like, well, why haven't we been doing it already?
Well, I think that's the value of the company is the database and the brand.
100%. Right? I'm all database, past referrals. Like, that's just what we're... I'm running so hard right now, that's all I don't have time to really pick up the phone and start trying to get new business in. It's coming because we do a lot with social media and groups and database. I have some tips on that that I can give you after the show that we've been doing.
Media. Yeah.
But I'm all database.
Yeah. Like, and we hear that from everyone. And,
and
honestly, Matt, he's great. Matt is great at the technology part. He always wants to dive into technology and database. And I'm kind of the old school girl. Which
she would still take a handwritten application if she could. Yeah.
But I love the dynamic we have because he pushes my limits in ways, and I bring kind of the old school touch back to him. So it works really well. And he's been pushing this database thing. And I said to him, I said, you're 1,000% right. We don't have time to do it. Mm-hmm. We need to bring someone in. So that's our new...
come back with the Shelby conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, he's told us, like, hire more people. You'll have a better life. I mean, I think you guys talked about work-life balance. He was saying the whole time, hire more people.
And hire people to do stuff that you're not good at. Be okay to say that this is not what I'm good at.
Yep.
And don't think you can do it all. And that's been one of my faults that I've learned over time is you think you can do it all.
Yeah, it's my issue. I mean, I'm selling everything.
Just being humble, I feel like. In this industry, just be humble. Like when we talked about her dad hiring that guy to come in, how many people, business owners would say, come in and expose me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it, and it was the best thing he ever did.
It's going to hurt. Yeah. You know, it hurts, right?
And I feel like the brokers do that really well. I mean, we all share best practices and that kind of stuff, but you got to stay humble. You got to be ready to change all the time.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to look at yourself and say, how can I be better? What can I do better? Don't think that your process is always the best and it's just going to stay the same. You always got to improve.
So how is it working together and living together? I wanted to get into
that. We're still alive. We haven't killed each other yet. No, it's actually, I would have, if you would have asked me back in the day at 25 years old, would you work with your wife? I would have said, not a chance, zero chance. And it really just happened.
I couldn't imagine working with anyone else, to tell you the truth.
And it's a lifestyle business, what we're in. It's not a 9-to-5. Like I said, you're always doing it anyway, so why not do it all? It's very mixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, so you going back when you're laying in, we're laying in bed, I'm worrying about one client, she's worrying about one client. Sometimes
sometimes we don't even like talk to each other. You know,
you ever worrying about this different client or the same client? And you're looking like, I'm worrying about this client. Like, I'm thinking the same thing.
We're laying in bed together and I'm thinking about other people.
That's great. All right, we'll have Dr. Phil in next week if you want to come back.
That's compassion for the clients. So at the end of the day,
what were you going to say?
You know, it hasn't been perfect. Not to say I was teasing about it last night. You know, shower fights. And it sounds funny, but like when you're getting ready in the morning and he may have an opinion on something and I may have a different opinion on it. Like our time where we've had many fights is he's in the shower, I'm in the shower, and we're just yelling at each other. Fights is what I like to say.
It's good though because I'm trying to break all the rules. Sorry, Andy Harris.
Yeah.
She's trying to keep me in compliance with all the rules.
But that's a good dynamic because...
And he pushes me to... try things that maybe I wouldn't normally try, which I love.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother topic, compliance and the rules. It's weird right now, you know?
And that's the stuff I love that he doesn't
love. It. I hate it.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, because with rules, and we won't go too crazy on this, it's about what's right for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's rules that actually hurt the consumer that were put in place to maybe help the consumer. So you're like, dude, I'm literally trying to help this guy and I can't do this? Like, this is ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of one of the sales pitches when I'm talking to clients is – talking about the Dodd-Frank regulation, everybody hates it, but there was a lot of good that came out of that for the consumer.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I would think the main point was just being licensed. We didn't have to be licensed back in the day, which was crazy, but there's been a lot of change as far as when I'm talking to a client, I'll tell them, these are the closing costs. I cannot change it. I will not change it, you know, to try and gain that trust. And then I'll go into the regulations about why it's that way. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day when I started, you could say closing costs were $2,500.
You could bait and switch day, man. Yes. And there's still ways to do that. And you guys see it. No escrows or like, that's a whole nother thing. That pisses me off. But
I think that part of the regulation was good. So that's how I gained trust with the clients is telling them, look, I'm telling you the fees right now. Mm-hmm. When we get to the end, I'll go over these numbers. That's a follow-up call is really key, I feel like, at the end. Mm-hmm. So I call them at the end, go over all the numbers with them again, ask them how the whole process went, what can we do better, what do you like, you know, yeah. back and forth.
Is there anything that you would change? I'm trying to spark an argument here. No, I'm kidding.
No. About each other?
No. Yeah, about each other. No, in with compliance or any of the rules. Like, what's one thing that you feel is just stupid?
Well,
I love that you asked this because
disclosures drive me nuts.
Yeah. Okay.
The loan estimate is complete trash.
Okay.
I mean, I still send out a fees worksheet, and I tell every borrower, stick to this fees worksheet.
Because it's LE, which I have to give you. It's official. It's BS.
Sign everything like it's Stevie Wonder. You're Stevie Wonder. Just sign
it. I'm using that line.
Stevie Wonder. When we get to the end, I'll call you, and we'll go over all the numbers again.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There was an event that we went to a year or two ago, and this guy laid it out perfectly. Like, when you're getting ready to have a baby, the doctor comes in. He tells you you're pregnant. He delivers the baby. And then he's gone. Like, that's what you should be as an originator. Come in, do everything the way it is, or do everything that you should do to get the process going, and then come back and
grab the baby.
Shake their hand, grab the baby, and you're out. Huh. But they got to remember you. The key is they have to remember you as a loan originator. If you don't do anything memorable, they're going on to the next person.
Yeah.
And at the end is when everyone's excited, right? They're excited to get their keys. They're excited to get into that home.
No one wants a mortgage like we talked about.
They're excited to be told they're pregnant.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they're
during the pregnancy, you deal with all that other stuff that you don't necessarily want to deal with. You know what I mean? And you go see the nurse throughout the pregnancy, and you have to take tests and needles.
So you're saying buying a house, getting a mortgage, buying is like if you were pregnant.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's really exciting in the beginning.
It's really exciting in the beginning.
Miserable in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and then it's great at the end.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And so, as the loan originator, you look at it like you're the doctor. You're there in the beginning to advise. Here's what's going to happen, right? You're not necessarily in the process. You have great processors for that. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you are the hero. You're the magic doctor that gets to hand them their child or their home, and you're making that closing call, which is very important. That's one thing we put in place is a closing call. And since we put that in place years ago, we haven't had anyone ever walk out on a closing. Ever. Our closing ratios are 100%.
That's cool.
Because they know what to expect going into the signing.
Yeah. I mean,
going back to the loan estimate stuff, I hate that thing. So I would change that because I think the wording on that's crap.
Mm-hmm.
I think what does it say? The closing cost, and it grabs everything together. It jumbles everything up. So if I'm saying the closing costs are $2,500, it adds in the escrow.
It does,
and everything
yes.
else. So I get clients that call me all the time. They're like, you said the closing costs are $2,500 and it's $5,000. I'm like, well, it's adding everything together. So that part I would change.
Yeah.
It's not very consumer friendly, although it was made to be.
And it was made to be. Yeah. That's what's very frustrating, right? Yes. We try to talk in our side is all in numbers. I'm like, here's the all in number that you're going to need. And we're trying to tell you conservatively. But who cares about what else is on there? This is what you need. That's all that matters anyway, right?
Yes.
That's how we try to do it. Yep. So I'm in the same boat, man.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's even confusing to me, and I look at them every day. You're trying to do math. You're getting the calculator. I'm like, did I do this right? What did I do? Did I say something wrong? No, you didn't. That's one thing I would change.
I would change the disclosure process for
appraisals. I hate the appraisal. If someone decides to go through Chase or Quicken and then they decide through the process, like, I could probably get a better deal, but they already paid for an appraisal.
Right.
Why can't we use that? I hate that.
Well, we've seen it from one wholesale lender to another. Sometimes they're transferring it, right? On a conventional deal, of course.
Yeah.
Not from like a outside of it, right? Sometimes, though.
Sometimes on FHA or VA. I mean, VA and FHA is a little bit easier, but conventional is not.
Uh-oh.
So we've had clients that have wanted to come to us, right? And we just had one, for instance, and they had an appraisal done. It came in at value. So we were beating the deal, get it in. We get the appraisal, $30,000 less. So they go back to their original bank where they weren't getting a good deal.
Oh, just because you got a...
sucks. For me, like...
Appraisal process is a bit... That could be changed as well.
Yeah, if you can just transfer appraisals a lot easier, I think that would be a huge thing.
Okay. What else you got? You probably have 100 things you would change.
I mean, the disclosure process for me.
All right, so that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. All right, so we have like 10, 15 minutes, all right? I wanted to get into work-life balance because you have four. I have three, right? Tori and Sky yesterday, they both have three each. So how is it running a business, having a family life? Like, I mean, it's hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's not good.
It's not.
But we're working on
it. Well, how old are the kids again?
8, 6, and 4.
All right, 8, 6, and 4. Okay.
She just turned 7.
Same thing.
Well, I'm 8, 5, and 2, so I get it.
You just there's running. No perfect there's answer.
Just chaos, right?
You know what?
It is.
But our kids, like I said, they're in our office. They're involved. They know everyone in the office. They're coming in.
That's
they
awesome.
Run. They run the office business. Too.
Uh-huh. Well, and I like that part because they see how hard we're working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that instills in them to you got to work hard for
in life. That nothing's for free. And I like, you know, we keep them involved in our business just as much as we are. You know, and it's not perfect. I mean, can we get better sometimes at leaving the office, you know, earlier or doing? But we try our hardest. Or I try together. Like, okay, I'm going to go on this field trip. Next time, you know, you go on this field trip. Or one good thing about working with him is we understand each other's stress. Like, he'll be like, okay, I'll take the kids home early tonight, get them their baths, get them ready. You can stay at the office late. Or I'll go home, you know, and he'll stay at the office late. So
it's a funny business because we're quote unquote flexible because we can kind of do whatever we want. But you fall into a trap of it's not flexible because there's always
something
you could be
doing. It
goes back to
caring for the client. I mean, like you said, you know, I mean, we care about these clients. We care about making sure that we're doing the right thing for them. So it is a struggle on that side of things, but it is what it is. It's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do this if it was a 9 to 3 job.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's not what we're built for.
Well,
that's
I mean,
not
what we're all lucky. We can go on a field trip.
Yes.
We can do that. We can speak to a client and say, listen, I'll get back to you in a couple hours. I'm going on a field trip. And you tell them that, like, yeah, do it.
I would say more than anything, it sounds better to tell them that.
100%.
In today's
I tell
society.
Everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're relatable to them.
Yeah.
Because they have kids. They're running around going to soccer practices.
They
so they understand.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more upfront you are with the clients about it, like, you know, I'll text a client, hey, I'm in a game really quick. I'll call you when I get out. They're like, cool.
They're cool with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like the more, you know, people used to be afraid to say that I'm here, I'm there, whatever. And clients don't understand that as much as if you just tell them what you're doing, then they're more understanding. They understand life just as much as you do.
I remember selling loans back, and we had the oldest, and he was like 1, and I had to stay home, and I was working Wells Fargo back in the day. But the amount of deals that I sold because I used him saying, I'm watching my 1-year-old.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Oh, done. Like, they were not going anywhere else.
Well, I had a lady the other day that called me, and she was kind of half in the bag. I'm like, you're good. You know, as long as you can communicate with me properly, I'll deal with it. But that client will always come back to me because I understand her position. You know, we're one with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
bringing that human touch, you know, it's like we're all in the same boat. We're all working hard in our daily lives. We all have kids. We all have things that we're stressed out about. So bringing that human touch to people.
Yeah,
I think is the key. I do. Because people are like, how do you get so many clients? I'm like, I'm just honest with them. No. Like, if they like the Raiders, I tell them I hate the Raiders. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you Cardinals?
Chiefs.
Fan? Chiefs, huh?
Chargers.
So you're Chargers. Yeah.
That builds good rapport with them. I mean,
Andy Reid, that used to be a fit.
Yeah.
Big red, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Yeah.
So our household's really fun during football time, too.
Yeah.
Chargers and Chiefs fans.
Oh,
and we both
on.
Like the Cardinals, too.
Right now because the Chargers are terrible.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Phillip Rivers, though, man. I mean, we could go talk on a tangent about that.
Four right. Rivers, but.
So we got a couple minutes. One or two things that you would, I mean, we talked a lot about relationships, but let's go this way. Where do you see the business? I'll start with you, Lisa, in 5 to 10 years. Like, where do you see it going?
I'm hoping to grow it in a way where we just keep getting better. Our processes get better. One of the things I love to do is hiring young people, mentoring them, getting them excited about the not sexy part of it.
All right,
like,
cool.
The girl that we hired was a babysitter, and she had a finance degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to go to law school eventually, but she's wanted to learn mortgages. And for me, it was exciting to be able to teach young people. And she goes, I didn't know about credit. I didn't know about this. Most people my age don't know this, Lisa.
They don't. There should be a class on it.
Yes. Yeah, and she's like, do you mind talking to in front of my friends about it? And she goes, I have people that want to just buy homes. They just think they want to buy a home, but they don't know this side of it. They don't know the mortgage and how important it is to get pre-qualified. She said, will you just sit in front of my friend? She's 22 and just talk about it to them. She goes, I've learned so much. And so if I were to say where I see it, I'm hoping to bring on more young people, get them excited about why I love the mortgage industry and really teach them stuff that they're going to carry on. Even if they don't stay in the mortgage industry, it's life stuff that they're going
to
learn.
And hopefully that trickle down to everyone else in their age group and I mean, we're all trying to, we're in a weird time. We're trying to change the game. Mm-hmm. The toughest part is getting the message out of
Well, and that's where Lisa has been phenomenal. I think Anthony would attest to this too, is Lisa's like, I don't know, transitioned so many retail LOs to brokers over the past 18 months.
Starting their own companies, not just working for me. Like, yeah. I'll go work with their processors.
Yeah.
I've done that to several people in Arizona. They'll call me up and they say, we don't understand the system. I've literally driven over to their house and helped their processors order docs.
Or, yeah, I'm calling her like, hey, get in here. Like, we got to close a few loans. Yeah. And she's helping other people, which at the end of the day is phenomenal. I mean, I was texting Aaron Reed earlier today. He was thanking us for kind of teaching him the ways. He started his own broker. Like,
he came in our office and was
6 months ago.
What should I do? Start my own brokerage? Go work for someone else? What do you think? And I said, start your own brokerage.
Well, he was like, kind of like, would you guys hire me? And I was like, I mean, I would, but I think you're good on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like we kind of motivated him to start his own deal. And like I said, we were texting earlier today and he was like, thank you so much for what you guys have done for me and pushed me to the spot where he started his own broker shop. And Lisa loves doing that and is amazing at it.
If I could help mentor people, so where I see going in the future is be an example of doing business. And even with competitors, there's enough business out there.
So much. Yeah.
And helping other people so everyone's doing everything, you know, the right way. And mm-hmm. and I learned so much. Even for people starting out, I learned from them, too.
Yeah, 100%.
So. Yeah.
I'm hoping to win the Powerball. That's my future.
All right, we'll end it on that. No. What do you got? Where do you sit?
I mean, it's competitive. You got to be on your game with this stuff, especially with where technology's going and these online lenders. You have to be compassionate with the customers. I feel like if you don't create a memory for them to remember you from, you're gone.
Can't be a dick.
And that's what her dad was really good at. Was I mean, I'll talk to people now. Unfortunately, like she said, he passed away in 2014. I'll still talk to clients to this day, and they're like, he came out in 2010. He was wearing this goofy red
shirt.
That's
really cool.
This,
I'm the like, memories
how
of that.
The hell do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But he was that kind of guy. So that's been inbred in me to, if the client doesn't remember you, they're gone. So you got to mm-hmm. do something. You got to make it a memorable experience for them.
And one thing that we've been talking about too, like Matt said, is we're not loan officers. I really want people to come to us as an advisor. And one thing that Matt is great about is I'll hear him talking to people on the phone and he'll say, you know what? Now it's not a good time to refinance. Yeah. Like, I do this for a living, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's not the right time to do this. Or I wouldn't do this if I were you. But you're not selling something to them. You are creating a client that now trusts you. And you know what? If you don't get their business now, you're going to get it later. But they may know 5 people that are ready to buy right now mm-hmm. that they're going to say, this person was honest with me. Mm-hmm. They really advised me. They just weren't trying to sell something over the phone. They weren't a call center. Like,
yeah.
You know, I know we use that we're kind of like a call center, but we're not sense. Yeah.
Well, I came into this, I saw radio, saw a call center. I'm like, all right, we're going to be talking about something that's different from what I do. And what I really enjoyed talking to both of you is a lot of the things that I do, I see in you guys and vice versa. Like, that's what it is. It's relationships. But you can use different mediums to get the message out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start doing it a little bit differently.
Radio is just our tool to get out our message.
It's a tool to get there and listen to the client. They'll tell you where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to them.
Cool. Well, I enjoyed talking to both of you. I appreciate it.
You as well.
And hopefully I can pick your brain after this at some point.
Anytime. Cool. Call Sweet. Us anytime.
Go to happy hour.
All right, I'm in. I'm in now. What time is it? Is it noon?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah, right. All right, well, thank you, guys. This was Lisa Lund and Matt Oliver of Lund Mortgage. Thank you.
Thank you.